This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
My man, Will Mosley. Brother.
What is up?
How are you doing on this Wednesday morning? Or Wednesday afternoon? It feels like the morning for me.
I was about to say. I mean, it is lunch, but we did just wake. No, I'm kidding. I've been up since about 7 a.m.
What have you been doing since 7 a.m.?
I had a ride at 9, so I had an hour drive into town this morning. So.
Oh, wow. Dude, it's been, we first met through our mutual buddy, Josh Terry, the legend. And this was, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Probably two. I think it's been 2 years since I started coming up with Josh.
Because I remember he came up to do Trey Lewis's podcast, DM Monday.
Yep.
And that was when I was like, oh boy, this guy travels in packs. Because I think he had, is it something, is it Pat? No, not Patrick Cross. Who's the guy?
Carter.
Carter, yeah. He had Carter and he had Riley with him, big old Riley. And I didn't know if you were on that trip or not. But yeah, I think we met. So it would have been at Live Oak, right? That we first met? Or was it Floribama?
I believe I met you guys at Live Oak. And then like 2 weeks later, we were at Floribama.
Oh, so you got a.
Yeah, so I got a little taste of it before we got down there.
Dude. And you're one of those guys that even at the Floribama, the guys at the Floribama were like, who the fuck is this? I'm like, that's our boy Will Mosley. And then obviously over the past year, it's just been, life's just been crazy for you, huh?
Yeah, it's been nuts. I mean, really, it's been cool though. Like, I mean, I don't know exactly how to explain it. Like, it's just been like so fast.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure I've actually sat down and processed all of it.
Yeah.
But it's just like going and it hasn't stopped. So I'm just riding the ride, you know?
Yeah, dude. And you're still just the same dude, same good old boy that was hanging out in fucking Statesboro, by God, Georgia, man.
That's it.
Just talk about Statesboro a little bit. That place is, I'm on record as saying that is the best college town in the country. There is nothing like a night at the Blue Room or a night at Southern Social.
I would agree.
Dude, there's nothing like the. What is it about Statesboro, do you think, that draws out all this music?
You know, I think it's one of those things there where people kind of appreciate it down there. Like, yeah. People appreciate music and they're really starting to appreciate, like, new musicians getting their start there. And so it's like, oh, well, we've seen a list of people who started here and played the little bars and the acoustic shows and all of those things, and they see where they're at now. And so it makes them appreciate, it kind of builds excitement about the people who are there now and where they'll go, you know. Yeah. It's one of those things, everybody wants to be able to say, oh, I knew this guy before he was this, or I seen this guy before he went here or did this or did that, you know? So I think it's just like slowly building that excitement, and the music community in Statesboro is just growing. And I love to see that, man. That's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah. Did you and Luke talk about Statesboro at all when you were on Idol?
We did a little bit.
He's like one of the OGs, him and Dallas back in the day were like the Statesboro OGs playing at Dingus. Was it Dingus McGee's?
Dingus McGee's. That's right. And then they had So, I wasn't there in time to go to, like, Legends, and there was another place. I can't remember the name of it, but it was before my time anyway. But we did talk about it a little bit, about how, like, that was, you know, where they got their feet wet at.
Yeah, dude. He was playing the same gigs that you, Cole, Gavin, Landon, Dylan, Brian Fuller, like this, a number of different people. It's like crazy. It's just like a pipeline, bro. And it's like, you went there to play football, right?
No, so I went to Maryville College right outside of Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, you did college football, or you went to school in Maryville?
Yeah, college football was before Statesboro. But like, I finished up, I graduated from Georgia Southern. I just went the first 2 years to Maryville.
Okay.
Then I transferred closer to home, but that happened to be Georgia Southern. And we tacked on an extra year. You know, it took us 5 to get 4, but we got it.
You do what you got to do, brother.
We couldn't miss out on the memories. That's all it was.
No, dude, absolutely. And it's a place that you make a lot of fucking memories.
I don't know if you make a lot of memories. I don't know if you make them for you or for someone else, because there's a lot of memories that other people have that I don't remember. So,
yeah. What's the biggest thing where you've seen just life kind of changing? Because you still seem like last night you were hanging out with us at Losers, and you were just I was just like, oh shit, Will's here. Like, you still kind of go, you do all the same shit. Like, after being on TV and doing all of that, like, have there been a big change in your life, or are you just the same old dude?
I think for me, I'm the same person. I think there are things that are different. I think, you know, like, there's times where people will spot me or whatever from seeing me on TV and things like that. And it's always fun for me because, like, I tell people this sometimes. Like, when we were on the show, they would say, oh, there was 20 million votes come in tonight. And it's like, okay, 20 million votes, whatever. But then when you go out and you meet these people who they're like, every Sunday night, me and my family sat down for 2 hours and watched TV together because we were waiting on you to sing so that we could vote for you and support you.
Wow.
And it's like, it's crazy to think that, like, I mean, and I say this, and it sounds kind of extreme, but if you really think about it, it kind of was. It was altering their entire life. Like, on every Sunday night, they made sure to sit down and watch television so that they could vote for me on a show.
Yeah.
And, like, when I was on the show, you just hear a number. You hear this big number of 20 million, but then when you come off the show and you start playing shows out, and these people are coming to the show, and then you meet them after the show, and they're shaking your hands, and they just want a picture real quick, because they want to show their brother or their sister or their son or their daughter, whatever it is. Because, like, every Sunday night, they made it a point that they all got together and watched the show to vote for me. It's so cool to, like, put faces with those numbers that you heard, you know?
Yeah, because otherwise they're just numbers, and you don't realize it, like you're saying, in the moment.
Because in the moment, like, it truly did. It just passed me by. Yeah. Like, I remember hearing them say, like, one night there was 20 million votes, and then there was 15 million, 16 million a couple nights. And then, like, I remember hearing that, and I was like, wow, that's a bunch of votes. I'm like, all right, well, you got to start back to work in the morning. Like, you know, it was just that fast. Like, it went through my head, and then it was gone. But then after the show, like, having the time to sit down and shake those hands and meet those people and take pictures with each one of those people, and it's made it really cool for me, because it's like, oh, wait, that wasn't just 20 million votes. That was thousands of people, like, sending in, like, every Sunday night, 30 votes.
Like, maxing just out, just baby. Hammering it.
And it's like, okay, they were bought in. Like, they cleared their plans every Sunday afternoon to watch me sing on TV. Yeah, like, that's cool, you know? I mean, like, that's cool as hell.
It's like people clearing their schedules to watch the Georgia Bulldogs play on Saturday, you know?
That's it.
Sunday night was watch you and the other contestants sing. What was L.A. like? Because for you, coming from Georgia, very different place. I've never been to L.A. I've been to San Diego once, but I've never... The West Coast is, like, the one section of the country that I haven't really tackled or been in.
So, I hear from different people, and you only hear good things about L.A. from people who live there, as crazy as that is. But you also hear a lot of bad from those same people. I think L.A. is all about sections. Like, if you go to the coast, like Santa Monica, like 30, 45 minutes up the road, that's the prettiest sunset I've ever seen in my life, like, bar none. Like, second place, don't even hold a candle to
it. Wow.
Because, like, me growing up on the East Coast, we always watch the sun rise on the water.
Yeah.
West Coast, you watch it set on the water. So, like, the sunsets there are just, like, different.
Yeah.
Just amazing. And then you have L.A. And, like, so we stayed on Hollywood Boulevard in a hotel for 9 weeks.
Wow.
Not great.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't enjoy that at all. Like, it was just nasty, man. And, like,
it's just a different thing too, and from where you're growing up.
Well, like, we were writing this morning, actually, and we were writing a song, and we got to this one point, and I was like, you know, I kind of want to write the verses about, like, my hometown, because it's so, like, slow. And I said, it's almost, and it just came to my mind that, like, my hometown's like a time capsule, because people, like, still live in my hometown like it's the 90s, like it's the 80s and 90s. Like, you
go
know,
to
like,
the same place for breakfast. Same,
that's it. Like,
everybody shops at the same Dollar General or same feed store or whatever.
That's it. Like, it's just small town America. And like, there's so many places like that in America, but LA is not one of them. And so, like, being out there, it was a culture shock at first. But more so than that, it was just like, it was just weird. Like, it was just a different world out there. Like, everything operates differently there. And so I think for me, like, I actually wound up writing a song about it. And the powers that be from LA heard it, and they actually love it. But it's called Shithole Called LA. And we're going to release it. I never thought they would give me the pass. I figured they would hear it and they would be like, "No, that's disrespectful.
Nah,
like,
this is our
home. This is our hometown. Like, this is where we're from." They were like, "Nah, you lived on Hollywood Boulevard. Like, that's a shithole." They were like, "If you'd come like 5 miles up the road, like outside of like downtown Hollywood," they were like, "you would love it." They were like, "But down there, it is a shithole." Yeah. And I was like, "Okay, well, I never seen 5 miles up the road. Like, I was stuck there with no vehicle, you know?" And so, it was cool. It was a great experience, I'll say that. And I got a song out of it, so that's good. But, you know, outside of that, it was a culture shock.
Yeah, because where? What town in Georgia are you from again?
I'm from Hazelhurst.
Hazelhurst. And that is down around...
It's around... So it's really around Vidalia. It's like next to Vidalia, close to Waycross. Okay. I don't know if you ever heard of Waycross, Graham Parsons. So
you're down there.
Yeah, so we're closer. So I... Like, if I fly out, I fly out of Jacksonville rather than Atlanta.
Oh, wow. You're way down there.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, you're literally on the Florida-Georgia line.
That's it.
Literally right freaking there. So Nashville's even different for you then from where you grew up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different place. And, you know, like, that's a big thing with me and moving forward in my career as, like, a songwriter and a musician, you know, as a singer, performer. But for me, like... I've made it kind of clear to everyone that I've talked with that, like, I want to try to live at home and be part-time, like, be here 2 weeks a month or something along those
lines.
There's
a lot of guys and girls that do that, dude.
Yeah, I mean, like, and that's what everyone has said. You know, that's a common thing. But, like, for me, it's more so that Nashville is different in a sense that, like, my creativity don't exactly – come from here. Like, you know, like I feel like I get so, like, there's so many talented people in Nashville that you can bring a good idea to town and you can write it better than you ever could at home. But like, for me, I have to be home to get that good idea to bring to town.
So
you know what I mean?
So you get your ideas and then like once a month or once a quarter or every other week or whatever. And it times out to where, like, okay, you're coming up here. You're going to play a round or a showcase. You're going to meet with your team. You're going to maybe get in the studio, record something, and you're going to write a handful of songs.
That's it.
But then you go back home.
And then you go back home. And it's that reset. And that's, I think that for me is like, so I'm a big family-oriented person.
Yeah.
Like, we have a pretty decent-sized family and, like, just – I'm really close with them, but more so than that, like, I have a lot of friends who I'm very tight with. So, like, I have probably 10 friends from high school that we still talk every day. And that's one of the things that, like, I think social media has changed for
so
my generation
much.
Because, like,
so much.
Like, I hear, like, I have a brother who's 10 years older than me, and, like, we'll talk. I'm like, "Hey, have you heard from so-and-so, your friend from high school?" And he's like, "Yeah, we talked about a year ago." And I'm like, "A year ago? Like..." "Damn, y'all don't even like each other anymore. Like, y'all ain't even friends." Yeah. He's like, "No, I mean, that's just how it works." And I'm like, "Well, we have a Snapchat group chat that every day somebody sends something stupid in there and we all laugh at it and like joke back and forth, like, oh, remember this, remember that.
Yeah, dude. The group chats with the boys from home are
that's
different,
it. And
man.
Like, it's
so
just,
important.
That keeps our friendships tight, you know? And so I still have 10 friends from high school. I have a group chat, 10 more friends from Maryville when I was playing college football. Every day or so, somebody sends a picture of something that reminds them of a time here, or a night at the bar, or this or that, you know, whatever it is. And when you see that picture, like, everybody chimes in.
Yeah.
But, like, that's who I am. Like, I love my family and my friends and, like, being around and being tight with all those people. And I think, you know, like every like when we first started, you were saying like, what has changed about me? I feel like if I was forced to stay away from that environment, because I mean, like for me, that is a pretty healthy environment with my family and my friends and all those people there.
Absolutely,
because it's just a great support system there.
Yeah,
I feel like if I was forced to stay away from that for a while, then there may be a change in who I am. But that's kind of my biggest thing, is like I want to make sure I stay grounded to that, you know?
Yeah, dude, you want to be Will Mosley. Will Mosley is a down-home guy that hangs out with his boys, hangs out with the family, goes and sees grandma, papa, mama, whatever you call him, you know?
It.
Like having that family and that sense of family, and that's something that I miss. And how far of a drive is it for you? It's what, about 7 hours?
Yeah, about six and a half.
About six and a half, yeah. Depending on Atlanta.
That's it. It's all about Atlanta and sometimes Chattanooga.
It can be six or it can be nine real quick. But being from up north, like my family's very like further away, you know? Like I have an aunt and uncle in East Tennessee, but and some cousins, but my family predominantly is in like New Jersey, Delaware, New England, New York, like up that way. And it's like I do miss out on some shit, you know? Like taking that jump and coming here. But when you have a reasonable like drive to where you can still do both, then it also makes it to where like we're never gonna have desk jobs. Our lives are just not gonna have that. And I'm so fucking thankful for
me
that.
Too.
I'd rather be out at an event. I'd rather be traveling around, doing shows, doing podcasts like this. Like this is the closest thing to an office that I'll probably ever have, and I'm grateful for that. But you coming up to Nashville, it's like a business trip. It's like you come up an office. And I feel like that started when you were coming up with Josh. As wild as that is to think about, like your first taste of Nashville were coming up with Josh and being in that Airbnb and the chaos that was involved with all that. That's, and now it's you're coming up and doing business trips, dude. It's like he's kind of getting all you guys ready by bringing you, Cole, like that's Riley up here.
That's what's funny about it, you know, is that like coming up with Josh, we would do that like once a month for a while.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
It was like, okay. Well, we started extending it a little bit. Like we'd stay, if his podcast was on a Tuesday, we'd come in on Sunday and leave on Thursday so we could get back home to play shows on Friday and Saturday. But we would make sure we could extend it as long as we could.
Network.
And then, yeah, and everyone was like, oh, y'all are just up there partying. Y'all are up there partying. Y'all are out there getting drunk every night. And it's like, okay, well, we stayed there five nights. We got drunk five nights, but we also wrote like 10 songs this week. Like,
yeah,
it's more than just, you know, coming and drinking and whatever. Like yeah. We would come and we would have fun. And then the whole time it was like, there was business going on. I mean, like meeting new people. And like, I remember like now it's funny to say, like me and Brian Martin have become good friends, and Jason Michael Carroll and some of those guys, you know, like who as a child, like I would, like Jason, for instance, like I remember hearing his music and stuff, and I was like, wow, that guy's cool.
Yeah.
And now to call him a friend, but it's all because of, oh, we come to town and we stayed a couple extra days.
Yeah,
and so we had time to make those connections and network and all of those things. And I remember all my buddies at home, they was like, yeah, you're just going up there to get drunk. You're just getting away so you can go get drunk. And I was like, so? But truthfully, like, coming up here and going out and having those nights where you stay out a little bit too late and then this person walks in or that person walks in or, you know, whatever it is. And then that friendship gets started just like that. And that's what, I mean, in my opinion, that's what Nashville is all about. I mean, like, I truly believe that, you know, everyone says, oh, Nashville is the music city, you know, but like, I think the reason it is that way is because of all the friendships that are in town.
Yes, yes, 100%.
Like, I mean, of course, you know, people say, oh, it's not the city, it's the people. But it's not the people, it's the relationships. I mean, it truly is. Like, there's people here who, like, there's people who I've only met once or twice. But as soon as I met them, I knew they were good people. And I don't mind working with them now because I met them. I know who they are. Yeah. They know who I am. And we both know that each other are good people. And just like that, like, it just opens up a whole new door, you know?
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And so much of it is creating with your friends. And just, there's no other industry where it's just, hey, you go out to the bar, go out to Red Door, go out to Losers, go out to Live Oak. Go to one of these bars, and you end up having a conversation with some guy who is buddies with your buddy that you're with. Like, it's all the mutual friend stuff. Like, how many times you've been sitting at the table at Red Door or at Losers, and you're there with Josh, you're there with Brian, you're there with myself, Nick, and then somebody will come over, and then you end up, we introduced you guys, or you just get made an introduction somehow, and then you end up writing a great song with them, or you end up, through that connection, getting an opportunity somewhere. And it's just so much of that. You know, it's not forced either. It's just the best is it's just natural.
So what's funny is, I don't know if you've ever heard the song that me and Cole wrote, Angel Band.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
So it's a really cool song. I mean, but long story short, we were in Statesboro when we wrote it, and I knew who Cole was and he knew who I was, but we had never met. And I texted him on Snapchat and I was like, hey Cole, I've got this idea for a song. I sent him over the idea. He sent me back the chorus 20, 30 minutes later. Well, then 20 or 30 minutes after that, I sent him back all the verses. We never touched the song again. I was in Nashville with Josh. Cole was just in town, and him and Josh knew each other, but Cole wasn't staying with us. He come over to see Josh. We're sitting around talking. We finished the song, like put it all together, put music with it, like completely finished the song. And it had been sitting in our Snapchat saved messages for no lie. It had been there for like probably over a year.
Wow.
And we had never actually sat down together and worked on music. And that's the first time we ever wrote. And then from there, you know, like.
It's been a lot.
But it's crazy that like me and him were both in Statesboro and didn't make that connection until we got to Nashville with a mutual friend there. And then it made that connection. And now me and him go and play golf and. You know, hang out. I was with them last week in Statesboro, you know, just cool stuff all the time, you know?
Yeah, dude, I love Cole, man. He's got a very special thing to him, man.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a good friend, I'll say that.
Yeah, dude. And that's what's cool about that whole kind of the crew of you guys and coming up. And it was such an interesting mix of like me and Trey Lewis used to call it the Josh Terry Critter Crawl, you know, because he'd have like the social media personalities, like the OnlyFans girls mixed with like these cats from Georgia, like yourself, Cole, Riley, that you guys were like you bring up like, and all, most of you guys, aside from Cole, like larger than stature dudes, it'd be like, is this Josh's security coming with him or what? And then like he would do the rounds, but the blending of just like personality, social media influencer mixed with damn good country music and writers. And Josh has a great fucking ear, dude. Nick and I have always said that. Like if Josh Terry's bringing you to town, like you got something in you. But it was just such, and then you guys going on the party bus, bro. Those party bus nights, those looked wild. I never made it on the party bus. McElwain did a couple times, but I never did. But just a wild little chapter. And it's like, who would have thought that to see where everybody's kind of at now, you know?
Yeah, and you know, like, and that's the cool part about it is still now, like, you know, everybody's kind of taking their own lane on things. And, but we're all still friends. Like we all still talk, dude. And every chance we get, we all still write.
Yeah.
And I was seeing this thing the other day, and I believe it was Ella Langley, actually. And I don't know why. It's just been stuck in my mind all week. Like it's been really, really heavy on me this week. But I believe it was Ella. But she was saying that she had heard this advice, and I want to say it stemmed all the way back to like early Willie Nelson. Anyhow, it was saying that like everybody has a window, and once you go through that window, like that window closes, and that's your window. And my window may be something different, you know, but like in the music world, like if something works for me, then like that's great and it worked, but then that window closes, and then for somebody else, like it's not going to happen the same exact way it happened for me or you or like,
absolutely, man.
So like, it's kind of just like feeling around in the dark looking for that open window, you know? Yeah. And I think all of us are taking that step and like trying different things. Like, like I know, you know, like Cole's doing things that like I look at and I'm like, I wonder why he's doing that. But that's his window, you know? Yeah. And like I'm doing things I'm sure that he looks at and he's like, he probably shouldn't do this or he shouldn't do that or, you know, whatever. But like we're always just all supportive of each other and like Riley and, you know, all those guys, you know, it's just been it's been super cool to see like we all built like a really tight friendship And then we've all kind of like went different avenues, but we're all still friends, and we're all getting to support each other and watch each other go, you know, and it's been super cool. Yeah.
Who's the best one to be paired with on the golf course? You play a lot of golf with these guys. Cole strikes me as someone being pretty good.
You're
pretty good at golf?
I hate to say this. He don't need this in his life. Josh is probably the best one to be paired with.
Wow. Josh is good at
golf? Josh is good. I have to give it to him. He's pretty good.
Wow.
He's
I would not expect that. I've never been on the course with any of you guys.
We should make that happen.
We should, dude. I haven't played golf in probably 4 years, but I have 3 sets of clubs in my garage.
Well, you'll fit right in with me. If you haven't played in 4 years, we'll be good to ride the cart together.
Yeah, dude. It's fun because who else plays? It's you, Cole.
So, me, Cole, Josh, Riley plays.
Oh, Riley gets out there.
I haven't played with Riley yet. I've been trying to make that happen. Riley's one of the hardest working guys I know. Like he's on the road way more than he's at home. I mean, he probably stays home 2 or 3 nights a month.
Yeah.
And so me and him just haven't slowed down in the right place. McMahon plays golf.
Does Brian Martin play golf?
All right, look. I got the story to tell you about Brian and golf.
Okay.
Last weekend, we were in North Alabama, Sneed, Alabama, at Cottonfield Bar and Grill.
The Cottonfield, yes. I saw all the posts of this. You guys had a turnout there. That place looked wild.
It was awesome. Yeah. So that may actually, and if any of you guys were there, thank you. That may be my favorite acoustic show I've ever played.
Wow.
The crowd was just like locked in, packed out. That's awesome. Locked in, like paying attention, just thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. It was awesome. Saturday rolls around and we all go play golf. Jason Michael Carroll, Brian Martin, Josh, me, like all of us. Colt, I don't know if Cole was there yet or not. I think Cole met, I don't remember. Anyhow, we're all out there playing golf. Brian Martin is in jeans and boots and he walks up and in Brian fashion, he's talking mad shit. I mean, just talking shit. And we're all like poking fun and like giving him a hard time. And he's like, yeah, there ain't nothing to it. In the oil fields, we used to swing a 25-pound sledgehammer just like this. And he's like, I mean, that's all you got to do, right? And we were all like, okay, he's joking. He's going to hit it in the woods, like whatever. And he stripes the first one in boots and jeans. And I was like, damn it, Brian Martin. Like,
what can you do?
Just the time I thought I had him, I'd found something he couldn't do. Like, he just stripes a golf ball off the tee. And I was like, and he turned around and looked, and he just winked at me. And I was like, you bastard. But, you know.
Did it stay consistent the whole round? He played pretty well the whole round?
Surprisingly, like, there were so many of us playing that there was no way to keep up with everything
just
that was going
scramble,
on.
Just a big scramble, just a lot of fun.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was just a lot of fun. But, yeah. It wasn't a one-time one. It wasn't like a one-hit wonder. Like he did it a couple times. He hit it good. Wow. I was actually impressed. I was shocked.
Man, boots and jeans. Man, we used to swing a 25-pound sledgehammer in the oil fields. This ain't shit.
Yeah, he was like, I mean, you do it just like this, right? And like we're all like laughing. Like, yeah, this is gonna be a disaster. Nah, he's straight up vibing. Man,
that's awesome. That's cool, dude. Brian's got one of my favorite voices, dude. You do as well, dude. Like that fucking just smack you in the face voice. Like the kind of voice where you're sitting somewhere and you're having a conversation and there's somebody playing on the stage or in the corner and that first note comes out and you're just like, who the fuck is that, man? And you and Brian both kind of have that to you. Cole does as well. Riley does. A lot of people have it, but it's like different sounds, but like that deeper, just strong, powerful fucking gravelly thing too. You're like, fuck, I better listen to what this man's saying. You know,
I appreciate that. That's what we're after.
Nikki T and I have talked about that, dude. How's it been? What's it been like releasing music post Idol? Or you had the song that really blew up, like from the audition on, right?
Yeah. So it's funny. I made the decision to audition with the original, and the producers loved it, and it went well. It coming off the audition, it did well. Like halfway through the show, they were like, all right, we're going to give you a chance to sing any song you've sung in the show so far. You can sing it again. And I was like, as an artist, I was thinking plug. like, yeah, plug it right here, plug yeah. it again. So I sung it again, and then I sung it again at the finale. So I wound up playing it on the show like three different times, but it was awesome. Gone for Good, I mean, it really seen a surge based just off of just plugging it on the show so many times.
Yeah, what I love is that that song came out before any of this stuff happened.
It did. So it was released before the like pre-audition talks even started. So.
Yeah, which is what's great, dude. It was that thing came out. We're coming up on a full year of it, September 22nd, 2023.
So maybe it came out right after. I think I had my first talk with them in August. And then I released it in September, and then the show started later on. But yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah, and then you just put out a new one here.
Yep.
I Don't Want to Fight No More. I saw Dawson Edwards posting about this because I saw him saying that it was just one of his. Wow, that's a hell of a song to be cutting, bro. Maxwell, Dawson, and Cam Marlowe, bro.
That's it. So I wrote with Dawson this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were talking about it. He told me to tell you guys hello.
Oh, dude, I love that. We were, I was actually reliving some memories of my days with Dawson Edwards, bro. We used to go, speaking of golf, he worked grounds, or he like did the carts at Cheekwood Country Club. Or it's not even a country club, it's a golf course in Franklin. We actually played behind Jelly Roll out there a couple times. Jelly has his own golf cart with his own one-seater with a fucking big bottle of tequila and all the joints. It's a scene. But me and Dawson used to get out there and play because he would, since he worked there, we could just kind of get on and go whenever. We used to call it clapping cheeks at Cheekwood. And it'd be the two of us playing horrible, horrible rounds of golf. But a few years back, Dawson's one of the best, dude.
That's awesome.
Another Georgia boy, too. North Georgia. Rome, Georgia.
That's it.
He's biggest NASCAR fan you'll ever meet, too.
That's a...
Die hard, bro.
We've talked about it.
Oh, you're in the NASCAR as well?
No, I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but he, like, every time I've rode with him, like, it's all over the back. It's stickers all over his computer, hats, shirts, always NASCAR.
Yeah, he hosts our Raised Rowdy Racing podcast.
That's it. He was telling me that. And, he brought it up the first time we were talking, and then... It just kind of went from there, but I found out he was a huge NASCAR fan.
Yeah.
I can't believe Jelly Roll has his own cart. So that's one of the cool things about being on the show was, like, I got to hang out, meet Jelly Roll when we were in Hawaii, and he was a super, super
the
cool
nicest
guy.
Dude in the world. He does not have to be either.
No, and people ask, you know, like, what was it like meeting Jelly Roll? And I always tell them, Jelly Roll's one of the most personal people that I've ever met. Like,
yeah.
He truly has, like, one-on-one, like, meeting him for 5 minutes is the same, like, feeling of conversation, like, me and you sitting here right now, you know, like, he's really personal about how he has a conversation. Like, when I was talking to him, it felt like, you know, he truly did listen, and he truly was, like, interested in what we were talking about, and that's what's cool about it, because, like, it could very easily, in his situation, you know, just be another 5 minute conversation he'll never remember the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But he comes off as, like, he truly cares.
Yeah, dude. He's a different breed. It's very, very special. He's got that thing that, like, politicians need to have, where you remember everybody's name. You have experiences. Like, I remember when I interviewed Garth, I got to interview Garth Brooks in college. It was a wild moment. But I interviewed him one time and then a second time. And the second time, he acted like he knew who I was. But, like, Jelly has that same kind of thing, dude.
He's
special.
He's super cool. I hope.
You should get out and play golf with him.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I need to make happen. I wonder how we could do that. I'd love to go play golf with Jelly. I think it'd be
Jelly
awesome.
On a golf course, bro. That'd be
I think
fun.
It'd be awesome.
Have you played a lot of golf here in Nashville?
Not a lot. Because, I mean, most of the time when we come up here, even with Josh and all the shenanigans, like, it was mainly, you know, business. We were most of the time working and writing and doing all those things. We never really took time to play a whole lot.
There's quite a few courses up here. There's a lot of golf courses in Middle Tennessee, in the Nashville area.
Yeah. I want to play some.
Yeah, you got to play the ones that – have you played mountain golf before? Like, just golfing in, like, a mountain area?
So, we go and play Gunner's Landing in Gunnersville, Alabama. and it's all uphill downhill, but it's awesome.
Yeah, like you're in the carts and you're like going through the woods, like windy roads and stuff.
Speaking of Cole Goodwin, we were playing Gunner's Landing in the middle of the winter, and it rained and it was cold, and we're coming. We decide to leave, like, so we're coming backwards, and I mean, if you've ever played like you're saying mountain golf, like most of the time they try to make the cart pass go uphill.
Yeah.
If it's possible. Like, of course, there's always the downhill stuff. But so we're coming backwards. So it's downhill. It's pretty steep. And we're coming down. And I probably shouldn't say this. If anybody from Gunner's Landing hears this, like, act like you didn't hear it. But we're coming, and he hits the brakes. Well, the way that it comes to a T, and off the side of it, there's a pine tree. And then there's like a 20-foot drop.
Oh, shit.
And we're looking, and it feels like it was happening in slow motion.
Yeah.
And he goes, we're either fixing to hit that pine tree, or we're going to go off the side of this hill. And I was like, just turn the wheel and give it the gas and see if maybe we can, like, just pull it off. And it rolls over, and me and Cole Goodwin are inside of a golf cart, and it flipped straight up.
Oh, damn.
So that was cool.
You got to flip back over.
Yeah, I mean, we stood it back
up. You finished the round?
And honestly, surprisingly, it only scratched it just a little bit. So
that's good. I'm sure that's not the first time. I'm sure with terrain like that, there's been carts that over and shit.
Yeah, I'm sure we're not the first or the last. No,
definitely not the first.
We just don't want to be the first to get called out on it.
I'm sure you're good. What else you doing in life? So you golf, doing music? Music, then golf, and then what else are you doing for fun now? Where do you find time to do the things that you love?
Man, we've got a 20-25 dates coming up between now and the end of the year.
That's right, with Colin, right?
Yeah, well, we got 10 with Colin, and then we've got another 10 or so solo dates around the Colin dates, and so we decided that we needed a bus. So we went and bought a 32-passenger church bus, and that is where all of my spare time has been since we bought it.
So, like, renovating the bus to put the bunks?
We stripped all the seats out of the back of the bus because the legal rules on it is if it's over a 15-passenger bus, you have to have CDLs to drive it. Or something like that. So we just took the seats out of it, so it don't seat over 15 people.
Yeah, don't seat nobody.
It don't seat nobody. It seats two. You can drive it or you can ride in the passenger seat. That's it. No, but like, so we've had to tear all the seats out of it. We're trying to build back the inside, and you know, just that's where all of my spare time's been doing. I'm excited. This past year, you know, I was on the show and I spent all of turkey season in L.A. That didn't make it any better either. Yeah. And I'm excited that you know, deer season's fixing to roll around. I'm going to get to hunt some this year.
Yeah.
And then spring will come back, and I'm excited to get back in the woods a little bit. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, and that's something that when you're on the road, you can go, if you time it out right, because, like, there's quite a few artists that I know that will go to a place, like, say they're going to Montana during turkey season and they're trying to hit the Grand Slam or whatever it is, where you get all the birds from all the different states. He'll go out, Gary from Muskanon will go out there a little early. Well, make his trips during turkey season and go all around, you know?
That's good stuff.
That's a good way to do it. Do that. Yeah, and golfing on the road, bro. You should totally throw your bag
that's
in the bus.
That's another thing is playing golf. You know, I'm not great at it, but I enjoy doing it. And, like, I love just seeing the different courses, you know, because, I mean, you know, certain courses, they spend a lot of time and money on making them,
absolutely,
you know, pristine. So I love getting out there and playing, even if I do suck at it. It's still fun to do.
Yes, I'm looking. You got September. Oh, LaGrange. Sweetland app.
Yeah, LaGrange will be with Kid G and Mason Ramsey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, coming off of shows a lot of times, like, I've talked to a bunch of people who have done this in seasons past, and they all say the same thing. It's like you appreciate people following you from the show, but it's kind of like you're trying to outlive that that title. You know, you're trying to outlive being, like, I joke all the time, we'll see it, and it'll say American Idol's Will Mosley. And I'll start laughing, and me and my buddy Benji, he plays guitar with us, and I'll look at him, I'll be like, yeah, when I die, my obituary is going to say American Idol's Will Mosley. And it's funny, but, like, I mean, there is some truth to it. You know, you try to make your career bigger than just that.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
And I had someone tell me that before I went on the show, that as long as you use the show to tell your story and not let the show be your story, then you'll be all right as far as a career goes.
Yeah.
And so that's something that, you know, I've tried to do, but I thought it was funny because when I seen it pop up and it said Mason Ramsey, the first thing I thought was like, that's the kid that used to yodel.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
he's a whole different,
it's like, wow, you know, like, he's a different person, but like, still your mind kind of goes back to what you remember him from first. And so it kind of opened my eyes to my situation too. You know, it's like, people probably always, you know, certain people always remember, oh, that's the guy from American Idol. But
yeah, but that's the guy that sang his song Gone for Good three times on the show. That's the guy who's had music out before the show. That's why it's so different now with those, with these TV shows or these contests, whatever, is that you have the ability to get the music out beforehand and, like, have a Spotify page, have an Instagram, have a TikTok, have a YouTube channel for people to go to and see, oh shit, he didn't just go on the show and start doing music. He's been doing music for quite a while.
That's right.
You know, it's like, it just is another way to just amplify what you've already got out. And your shit that you've had out for years, dude. We've been loving us some Will Mosley. So it's like, and it's like, of course, the rest of the world, you just need an opportunity, need opportunities to get out there. Because when you're on that stage, man, when people hear your songs, and when you meet them at the merch table and stuff, man, it's just, you're just going to rack up fans, bro. You just need the opportunity to get it out there. And Idol's perfect for that.
That's it. You know, it was just a medium to take the product that I had been building on my own and, like, pushing it as much as you can. But there's nothing that you can't really put a value on putting it in front of millions of people. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, and the show did that, you know, and that's what, that's what it's for. That's its purpose, you know? Yeah. And I think now the biggest thing is just capitalizing on what the show provided and turning the TV fans into actual, like, buying ticket fans.
Yeah, dude, buying tickets is the biggest thing, man. And that's where you're going to see it. So looking at some of these venues that you're going to, oh, you're going to some of my favorites, bro. You're going to the Texas Club in Baton Rouge. That place is fun.
Never been.
And you're going in, the best time to go down there is in the spring, or like the late winter, early spring, when it's crawfish season, and I'm sure you'll still be able to get some down there. You're going to get some good food, man, in Baton Rouge. Like, it's a cool spot. College Town. It's an old school club, dude. There's, like, photos of, like, George Strait and Kenny Chesney playing there.
Oh, that's
like back
cool.
In the day. Yeah, it's like an old historic kind of building. You got Wendell's and Anderson South. Have you been through Anderson?
I haven't.
It is.
I've been to Anderson, but I've never been, like,
redneck as fuck. You got to bring Josh with you to that one. That one's gonna be.
We got that whole weekend's in South Carolina.
Yeah, so dude. Anderson to Charleston to Columbia.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a good
Friday, run, Saturday, man. Sunday.
Yeah, look at you knowing your
stretch the legs there in South Carolina.
Yeah, dude, that'll be awesome. Oh, and then the Rave Eagle Club. There's so many people playing the Rave Eagle Club that, like, I've had on the pod recently. Do you know about the history of that place?
I don't.
So that is, have you seen the Mac Miller pool, like, on the internet, where it's like Mac Miller wrote his name right before he died? He's, like, autographed the pool. It's like the haunted place. So that's that building.
Really?
So that building has, like, four or five venues. There's, like, an upstairs ballroom. There's a club on the first floor. There's a club downstairs. There's, like, a bar stage. And then there's, like, what used to be, like, a bowling alley. It's very haunted. They do, like, they'll take you on, like, a ghost tour when you're in there, bro. It's a whole, the green rooms, like, on the main level is, like, it's like a shared green room in a way of, like, for, like, the different things. But it's, like, trippy tapestries, beanbag chairs. Like, it's a very interesting place. It's
That's
one
cool.
of my favorite spots. And the crowd in Milwaukee is great, too. And you'll get them cheese curds up there, bro. And you got to drink the Spotted Cow beer.
Spotted cow.
Spotted beer. Cow is just a Wisconsin thing. I never had it, but everybody, every time I go to Wisconsin or I come back from Wisconsin, people are like, did you bring back any spotted cow? Like, people just go apeshit for it, dude. All right.
Well, I'm
so you'll love Wisconsin. And then you have Omaha Barnado, which is a cool little spot, too. It's like a whiskey bar, cool spot. So okay. You'll enjoy that. It's actually next to a, I believe it's next to a Bentley dealership. So it's like one side's a Bentley dealership. The next side is like this high-end kind of bar. We did it with Trey with Priscilla Block years ago. So Omaha's fun, though. But, yeah, you're going to have a blast, dude. Because how many states have you been to now? Just
We've played Florida. We've played Georgia. Tennessee. Played Clemson. Alabama.
California
for sure.
Hawaii. Which is just crazy. You're in fucking Hawaii. That's awesome.
Dude, that's what I tell people all the time. When this past weekend we played a show on the water. So they they have a barge on the river and they put the stage on the barge and then we travel by boat to the barge and play the show. And we've done that this past weekend and I was out there and I was like, every time I get near water I play sitting on the dock of the bay because like in Hawaii, that was like one of the coolest things was just like they built that stage on the sand in the beach.
Yeah.
And dude, it was just freaking magical. Like it was awesome.
That is awesome.
That's one of my coolest memories. But I think it's like seven or eight states now.
Yeah. You're gonna end up.
Oh, we played New York with Zach Brown.
Oh, when was this?
Right after I come off the show.
Was that in the city?
No, we played
upstate New York.
Yeah, Canandaigua.
Oh, so yeah, up
on the lakes.
Up, yeah, yeah,
upstate. Isn't it awesome? It was beautiful.
Isn't it crazy to think a lot of people have the misconception that like, oh, you're from New York, like it's the city, but there's a lot of country, rural, beautiful landscape upstate New York.
The Finger Lakes.
Oh yeah,
are awesome.
10 out of 10, dude.
It was awesome.
It's great. You don't feel like you're in New York at all.
No. Because like right the day after we come off the show, we went to New York and did the Today Show and we did all the different things. And I was in New York, like downtown.
Yeah.
And it was a disaster. It reminded me a lot of LA.
Yeah.
And then
it's just all the buildings are so high you can't see the sky.
Yeah, I mean it's ridiculous.
Gotta get that good pizza though.
That's
pizza
it.
Pizza and bagels. You gotta get the food and get out.
But then we went back like 2 weeks later, we went back to upstate and played with Zach and that was insane. Like, it was just beautiful. And then we're playing an amphitheater.
Yeah.
And there's 15,000 people there just, like, ready to rock. It was awesome.
That's cool. What, do you have a rider yet? What you're getting?
We're building that now.
Let's build it real quick. What's on the Will Mosley rider?
There has to be a case of waters.
Case of waters, essential, responsible. I like that.
Some sugar-free Red Bulls.
Sugar-free Red Bulls.
And probably some Crown Royal.
Crown. So you're doing Red Bull and Crown? Crown and
no,
Red Bull?
No, see.
I've, Red Bulls you're drinking straight.
So me and Benji have, he don't need to do this. He's skinny as it is. But for me, he did it to try to help me stay on track. So we've cut all sugar out of our drinks.
Wow.
So I've started drinking Crown Reserve and Sprite Zero. There's no sugar in that.
Ooh.
And it works.
Yeah.
It'll get you there quickly.
I'm sure.
but there's no sugar, so that's my new game plan. I'm trying to lose some weight. It's a tough lifestyle as it is.
Being on the road, it's so difficult.
Yeah.
You roll into Buc-ee's or you roll into a Love's, bro, and that Love's has a Hardee's or a McDonald's or a Subway.
You just fill up on greasy food.
I could really go for a sausage biscuit right now waking up at this Love's, you know? Like,
yep.
That Hardee's.
It's tough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm trying to.
It's tough, but it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to figure it all out.
You doing the meal prep stuff at all?
No, not yet. That's the next thing, like. So we've been so busy, and that's the other part of it is I've been trying to figure out how I can incorporate, like, some kind of exercise in my day-to-day plan. Without getting up early and doing it, I don't foresee it happening, and so I'm trying to talk myself into committing to it.
Because what you can do, like, around these venues, like, going for, even just going for a walk, something simple like that, Just going for
just being active.
Going for a walk, playing that frisbee golf, playing regular golf would be good for you too.
That's it.
You go out there, play a couple rounds of golf a week, like you're gonna start burning some calories for sure.
That's it. That's where I'm at with it. I think the biggest thing for me is just eating healthier.
Yeah.
You know, just finding something to eat other than cheeseburgers. I mean, dude, truthfully, so good. But it's so easy to just swing through a drive-thru and
bro, grab a cheeseburger. Yeah, dude. I've got my next Monday. I've been traveling a bunch, and I had one bachelor party the last couple days, and then I'm flying up to Philly for another bachelor party. So it's after that, I'm gonna cut the excuses. I'm gonna get back in the fucking gym. I'm gonna eat right. But in between, I've been fucking going to make. There's a McDonald's right here, and that baby is 24 hours. And I am. You bet your ass. After a night, after an event, I'm swinging through at fucking 1 o'clock in the morning.
Drop in and grab it. And
make chicken, make doubles, some fries, and I'll pull up the highlights of the Yankees, and I'll watch the Yankees highlights on my phone while eating my fucking. I won't even take it. My house is a mile, not even from the McDonald's. I'm sitting in the parking lot with my Toyota Tacoma, eating, dipping those fucking chicken nuggets and watching the Yankees on my phone. It's like a nightly ritual, dude. It's not good. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Are the Yankees winning?
Oh, the Yankees are looking great. We lost last night, but we're still I think in first place in the division.
You can't change it up then.
No, I know.
Are you superstitious? You a superstitious person?
Yeah. The Giants Super Bowls, God, what was that now? 15 years ago, almost 20 years ago now. But in the Super Bowls, so remember when David Tyree, remember the Giants Patriots were undefeated. Eli Manning throws that ball. The guy catches it on his helmet.
Yep.
So while that happened, we would always have the Super Bowl parties at my house growing up. My parents loved hosting and everything. So I was in the bathroom dropping one when that happened. My dad locked me in the bathroom and was like, you can't come out of the bathroom. you can't be watching. There's no, the chance of him catching that ball. So then the next time they play the Patriots in the Super Bowl a few years later, they get the ball back late in the game. They start driving it or whatever. My dad's like, you know where to go. And I fucking go in the bathroom. And then Mario Manningham catches that ball, and then Ahmad Bradshaw falls in. And they won those two Super Bowls, but I didn't even get to see the winning drives. I was in the bathroom. Superstitious.
Just playing your part.
Playing my part, doing my thing, put the team on my back. Put the team on my back, sitting in a bathroom, just going off the crowd reactions.
Just waiting on them to start cheering so you can cheer too.
Yeah.
That's
or,
cool.
Or it to not work out, which of course I wanted it to work out, but it to not work out, and then I won't have to do it again. But it's I look away when the Giants, even when they played the Vikings in this last playoff run a couple years ago, we were at Hopsmith, the bar that's on Division Street, and I was there with a couple of friends, Radio Rod, our friend Aaron, and I was like, guys, this is going to sound weird, but I got to go to the, I'm just going to go sit in the bathroom. And they're like, what? And then I explained to them, get in the fucking bathroom. I'm like, okay. So I went in there and we beat the Vikings, but yeah.
That's cool right there.
Are you superstitious?
A little bit. I played baseball for about 8-9 years, and then I played football as a child. Then I quit my freshman year and played again my senior year and then in college, but with baseball more so than football, definitely. But in football, there was a pair of socks that I always wore, and I got cleated in the side of the ankle, and I tore the side out of them, and I had to wear the socks with a hole in them every game because I just couldn't pass it up.
Where were you playing on the football field?
Right guard and left tackle.
Okay, so both offensive line, but very different positions.
Yeah, so I was always faster pulling to my right. I mean, to my left, then off of my right foot.
Yeah.
But I wasn't ever really fast pulling to the right, off of my left foot. Yeah. And so I just played right guard for a while. And then left tackle kind of opened up, so I moved out there and played that game
again, still moving to the right. What was the system up there? Were you guys
It was all spread in college.
Spread? See, I feel like you would have dominated back in the day when it was
Well, see, in high school, we run a wing T.
That's what I'm saying. That wing T, bro.
And it was magical.
Bro, you're just pulling every play, just pancake, pancake. You're like a damn IHOP out here, bro.
I love it. I was playing left tackle in high school, wing T.
And still pulling because everybody pulls in the wing T.
Everybody was pulling, or either you were just crashing down.
Yeah.
That was always fun because, like, I'd be lined up at tackle.
Yeah.
And, like, on the right play, I would be blocking down on the nose guard.
Yeah, wow.
He never seen it coming. Like, that was fun.
To get all the way to the nose like that.
You just turn to the right and just crush people. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's madness, but it's fun.
You were more of an offensive player than a defensive player?
Yeah, I never really – I don't know why, though. Like, I just never really got into playing defensive line.
Yeah.
It never worked. Every now and then on a goal line when I was younger, I would line up at nose tackle on goal line.
Yeah, and just be a brick, just be a wall.
Just be in the way pretty much. I mean, just be disruptive.
Yeah, that's fun. Do you miss the competitiveness? I guess you get it with golf a little bit, but it's not.
That's what I was fixing to say. Like, so there's a big thing in music that I've never really understood is like how some guys get competitive in music. Like I see, which I mean, but you get it because like coming up with like Josh and that group, like we're all like brothers, like we're tight, we're friends. And so it's always been really supportive around us.
Yeah.
But there's people that I've come in contact with in the music world that's been like competitive in a way. It's like, I don't understand why there's competitiveness, you know, in a way. Like I get kind of what they're going with like, oh, well, if you get it this time, that means I don't get it this time. And it's like, if you're doing the right things and you're doing it consistently, like,
bro,
it's going to come around.
Bro, it's creative art.
That's it.
It's creative art.
That's
There ain't a scoreboard. There ain't a time. There ain't no standings. There's charts and stuff, but that's the business people's thing to figure out. You know? There's only so much you can do. You just got to go in and create what's on your heart.
But, like, for me, the competitiveness, I turn it to golf.
So you're talking that shit with Josh
boys. Like I told you, Brian was talking shit the other day, but, like, he was getting it back.
That's good.
In fair amounts.
Yeah, in doses.
It's good. Good for us. Me and Josh will go play sometime, and it's comical. Like, we really should film it.
That should be your content right there.
That's what we've been talking about. We're going to try to get that up and rolling, because I'm telling you, it's comical for us to go play golf.
Yeah, we got to get out and play. I got to get out and play with you and Josh, because what I like to do is I have a little Pelican case that can fit just the right amount of cigars, which is like two for me and one for everybody else, because I end up smoking two. And then I have like a little mini bowl that I bring to, and I light that up at the turn, like to get on the back nine. I have my routine, you know. I don't smoke at the start. I smoke right out there. It helps me get through that little back nine, you know.
Yeah. When you get a little bit of fatigueness going into the back nine.
Get a little, just be floating a little bit.
You hit the back one a little bit bad.
Yeah.
It don't matter anymore.
No, it don't matter. I'm out here having fun with the boys, you know? That's it. Who cares? So,
it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's fun, dude. There's so many courses around here. When you and so you're up here. How long is this trip for you?
I'll be here till tomorrow, and then we leave out tomorrow afternoon. I've got to go play a golf tournament in Georgia.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about this before we started. So what's this golf tournament?
So It's a benefit. I wish I knew exactly what it was benefiting. So I take people's words for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Especially when they say you're playing golf for 3 days straight and on every par three.
Oh, it's a 3 day straight?
Every par three has shots and every par five has something to do with alcohol. Yeah, I'm in. Like, explain no more.
Wow.
Tell me where to send my money. I'm there.
Where in Georgia is this?
So it'll actually be in Augusta.
Oh, wow. So you're getting to golf in Augusta.
Yeah. So it's not, I don't think we're playing the Masters.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
I don't think they would allow that there. But yeah, I mean, it's the golf capital, you know?
That'll be fun, dude. Do you watch golf a lot? Have you gotten into watching it?
I'll watch it some if I can. Like if I'm around on Sundays, I'll watch here and there. But for the most part, like I keep up with the highlights. I love seeing the like absurd shots.
Yeah.
Cause like for me, not being a great golfer, what keeps me in golf is the like crazy shots.
The one that will get maybe an entire.
Tell people all the time, I can go play golf. I'm gonna play all right. I'm gonna play decent. Hole number 18, I'm going to play good. Every time. It's the golf gods just bringing me back the next time. It's like, oh, you've had a shitty day. Here's 18. It's going to be good. That way you think you're still good. Here's that way next time you come back and play again.
Yeah, here's your birdie or here's here's your par. Here's this ridiculous putt that you're going to hit. And that sound of the ball just ringing around the cup, dropping in, that's just going to bring you back.
That's just you spending money next Saturday.
We'll see you next week. Give us another $40. You
that's
know?
It.
Yeah, dude. It's funny how that works. It really is.
It's interesting.
It is interesting. It's a time, man. So we got shows coming up in the fall. We got some new music that recently got put out. Do we have new music, more new music on the horizon?
Yeah, so there's we're working on a bunch of different stuff. And what's crazy is, you know, like talking about the Georgia guys is like watching people like Adcock, man. Like, you know, that dude's he's hammering.
I was gonna say
you
probably know you've probably crossed paths with him quite a bit.
So me and him have crossed paths and we've got to be better friends, you know, as all of it's kind of went along. He kind of left Statesboro right after I got there. Me and him never really crossed paths in Statesboro.
So you weren't there when he was on top of the bus.
I was there, but like I had just gotten there, so it was kind of like I was in and out and then, you know, of course he left and then everything went crazy for him, you know. And at the same time, I was trying to figure it all out and I was playing shows on the weekends when he would be playing in Statesboro. So it just never really crossed paths. But since then, we've talked a couple of times and, you know, we've got to know each other a little bit more. But he has, you know, he has his, I don't know exactly what formula, I guess, is what you would call it.
It's a formula. It's a brand. It's just his thing.
He's just pumped singles for so long.
Dude.
Then now the album, and the album's doing great. And congrats to that guy. But, like, so I don't know exactly whether to follow the single plan or if we're going to try to, you know, do an EP or, you know, just there's different ways. Or I think the album thing kind of – we'll wait, probably.
Yeah, there's no need to rush that.
I think, you know, because I heard someone say it like this the other day. They were like, you know, I think for an album, the biggest thing is you hold on to it until there's a demand for it.
Yeah.
Like when it's something that you know will do good because the support is just building and building and building and building and growing, and it's just like there's a massive support there.
Yeah.
Then you throw that album there. But until then, you try to build that as much as you can.
Yeah, dude, there's nothing wrong with singles and EPs. There's really not, especially when you're still figuring it out and you're still building your base.
That's it. And another thing for me is like still trying to find that sound.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not saying I don't have my sound, but as far as like exactly what lane to be in, you
it's
know,
it's not fully developed.
And you know, and I honestly, like, some people in town don't agree, but that's okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with having different sounds here and there, like,
yeah,
you know, releasing a song that sounds a little bit more rockish than not, and then having that traditional sound and song, you know, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's real and I think it's artistry and I think, you know, I mean, it's creative arts, like we said, you know. And I think people will appreciate like being real, like, hey, look, when I wrote this, I heard it like this. And so we recorded it like this and we're going to put it out and this is what it is. It's its own piece of art.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I mean, I'm excited to see how it kind of goes from here, like how it grows.
Absolutely, man. Well, I'm excited to see it go too, man. And it's just been, I remember sitting on my girlfriend's couch with her and her daughter Charlotte and watching Idol, be like, oh shit, Will's on.
Well, I appreciate
like watching that. But to see that just and knowing you and from the first time we met you at Live Oak, and thank you for repping Raise Rowdy like you do and being one of the good ones in the game, dude. Seriously. Like, we're thankful to Josh Terry for introducing a lot of us, man. And God bless Josh and his wild, crazy ass. But seriously, man, like, I love watching you win and I can't wait to hear about how these shows go in the fall too, dude. You're going to have a blast going to all these different cities and getting to meet all these different fans and getting to just do your thing, man.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. on, man, and you deserve all of it, man. You've worked hard. You've worked hard to get here, man, and good things happen to good people, and you're a great one, so great things will be happening, man. Seriously. Man, so
I really do. I appreciate it.
Yes, and I sir, can't boss. Wait to get on the golf course and try to break 100, man. That's my goal.
That's
when I get out there.
Let's do it.
If I can break 100, my lowest score ever, I think, was like an 81 or an 82.
Just make sure to bring a pencil with an eraser, and you can break 100.
That's a key, man.
That's my golf tip for the day,
it's
right?
The
there.
Golf tip. Bring
Make
a pencil
sure your
with
pencil
eraser.
Has an eraser.
Little mini, one of those like classic, one of those classic little, yeah, number two. Yeah. There you go, with that little eraser on there. Yes, that's what
that
it's
was
all
not about. A 5. That was a 4.
That was a 4. You were looking the other way, but where do people go to find you? It's Will Moseley on everything,
Will
right?
Will Moseley Music. Moseley. Will Moseley Music.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, I appreciate you, man. And plug the new song again that's out.
I don't want to fight no more.
I don't want to fight no more. The Dawson Edwards, Alex Maxwell, Cameron Marlowe cut that they said is one of their favorite songs.
Dude,
Dawson said it's one of his favorite songs he's ever been a part of. Like,
dude, when I heard that song, I fell in love with it. I was just thankful that even after the show that I still had the opportunity to do it, you know, be a part of it.
Dude, with your voice, man, you can cut whatever fucking song you want. Like, dude, they're crazy if they don't want you cutting their song. Like, seriously, you can do whatever, bro. Seriously. And if y'all haven't listened to Will Moseley, please go follow, check my brother out, and he's the fucking man. You'll stay tuned for an update on how the golf game goes when we get out there, the two of us and Josh Terry.
Maybe we'll bring
Nikki T. Nikki T's not good at golf, but he said he'll ride around in the cart.
Dude, that's awesome.
Bring plenty of beers for everybody.
I think
Nikki T can handle that. But shout out to Will for coming on today. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. Here's your iced tea vodka. You can use that at the golf tournament this weekend.
Love that.
They are known to be delicious, crushable. Low on the sugar. I know we're doing the no sugar, not 2 grams.
Only three carbs.
Yes, only 3 carbs. I think it's got 2 grams of sugar, 100 calories. So they're light. They're very light. In the words of Matt McElwain, they taste like his mama's sweet tea at Thanksgiving.
Love that.
It's a little watered down. You don't really taste the vodka in there. It's a great product. So enjoy the Surfside. Thank you guys as always for watching. Be sure to visit, check out Will's stuff, and visit RaisedRowdy.com for more. So my man Will, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
Please. I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve, they usually just make them leave. So if you know